to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
I want to talk to you today about renewing your mind. How many have a mind? Let's see, how many of you have a mind? How many have ever lost your mind before? How many of you have a hard time making your mind mine? Everybody get one apiece. If you don't have, everybody got one? Everybody's got an outline? If you don't have an outline, prop your hand up real fast. There's some up front here. Oh, some on this side. We'll be getting on this side over here. Those that don't have an outline, you'll see them over here on the right-hand side and over here too. Everybody get one apiece. Go ahead and bring the lights up out there good and loud so they can see. Everybody get one outline apiece. It's called Renewing Your Mind. And in a couple weeks, I think not this weekend, but on the 18th, we have with us Marty Goetz. How many remember Marty Goetz? Marty Goetz is going to be back with us on the 18th of this month. So let you know a little bit ahead of time just so you can prepare. They're heading up over here. Here's some over here. Don't have outlines in the front. Some in the front here. They need some outlines in the front. Here we come. Everybody say, renew your mind. I started to do that deal. They have that deal, this is your mind on drugs. Is that what it is? I started to do this is your mind, and I was going to use a little analogy, but we'll go a little bit different. Let me show you today how important your mind is. A lot of people, I grew up in the 70s in the church, and I came in, I loved the Lord all my life, got away a few years during my teenage years, but came back to the Lord before I was out of my teenage years. And I happened to come back in during the Charismania time. And I'm going to tell you, many people checked their minds at the door when they came into Christianity back then and did all kinds of stuff that was absolutely mindless. And but the Bible talks about your mind. Turn the spotlights down just a little bit there, getting a little blinding if you can. And I want to talk to you this morning about renewing your mind. Now that you're seated, you have everything planned. Everybody stand up, if you would, for the reading of the scripture. That'll help you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I almost want to rearrange that verse a little bit, because Paul's line of thought and how they used to do back in the Jewish days, I'd almost want to rearrange it and put, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will not be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you will not be conformed to this world. Because I started to have a donkey and a cart in here this morning and put the cart in front of the donkey and wonder why it's not working. And one of the reasons about why people are still in habits, still fighting things, still struggling with the same junk they struggle with for 10 years or 20 years is because they've got the cart before the horse and they're expecting it to work, and it will not work. Because the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. And we leave it there and think, well, that's an act of the will only. And that's the act. And so we should concentrate on not being like the world. But the Bible says just that, though it's commendable not wanting to be, it's kind of like the program they had, Just Say No to Drugs. How many know that did not work? Just say no to drugs. Not going to work. Nor is it going to work by you saying, I'm not going to be angry no more. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not looking at that junk no more. Am I going to look at that junk? Now, it's commendable. But if that was what it took, then there was no reason for Jesus to die on a cross for the power of the Holy Spirit and all these other things. If you by just by the decision of your will and by the power of your persistence can overcome these things, then where's the power of the gospel? And where is the strength? And I want to talk to you this. I want to talk to you about the renewing of your mind. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I ask you, open up our hearts that we can hear, our eyes that we can see. Open up, Lord God, that we can receive truth, and truth would set us free. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, how clean's your mind? Look at somebody, how clean's your mind? By the renewal of your mind. The key word here is renewing. Everybody say renewing. And the word is important because the word renew means to renovate. Everybody say renovate. It's a Greek word and it means to renovate. How many of you have ever renovated your home? Let's see, how many has ever renovated your home while you were in your home? How many know that was a mistake? How many understood that was a bad mistake? And renovation means when you renovate, when you renovate a home, that means you're tearing down some walls, you're tearing out some windows, you're tearing out a cabinet, you're tearing out sinks, you're ripping out some things that you want to change. And the Bible says God wants us to renovate our minds. He wants us to tear some stuff out that's been in there. He wants us to rearrange some things. He wants to knock out some things, open some things up that's been closed in. He wants to come in. So to renovate, to renew means to renovate. It means to renovate your mind. And transformation comes when you renovate your mind. Do not put the cart before the horse. That is one translation, New Living Translation says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Once that happens, you find yourself no longer conforming to the patterns of this world, but to the will of God. There is the need of beginning to change and renovate our minds. Our behavior will change when our thinking changes. I did a counseling last week. I'm going to do another counseling this week. Your behavior will change when your thinking changes. But until your thinking changes, until your mind is renovated, stop trying to change your behavior. If you start with the behavior first, you're putting the cart before the horse. It will not last. It will be temporary. You'll be eating banana pudding before, January 3rd when you make your resolution of the new year, eating habits. Because behavior will not change until thinking or your mind is renovated. Little outline I gave you, number one, all behavior is based on a belief. I'm going to give you my opinion. All behavior is based upon a belief. Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree because they believed a lie. They believed what the devil said, the snake said, over what God said. All action, all behavior is based on a belief. The reason they reached out their hands, took of the fruit and ate of it was because of a belief in their mind. That literally it was to make one wise, to make one, and everything the devil saw, it was good to eat. All her actions were based on a belief. God had said one thing, if you eat of it, you will die. But then that belief kept her from reaching out and eating of the fruit. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then the liar came, the deceiver came and planted in her mind the belief that it was not true, that if she ate of it, she would be wise as God. If she ate of it, would be good for the body. And all these beliefs then produced an action that caused her to sin. And all behavior is based upon a belief. When somebody comes to you and says, I believe I'm supposed to divorce my husband and marry this other guy because, you know why? Because God wants me to be happy. They just told you the belief that they're basing their action on. The lie was that God wants me to be happy. So how could I be happy with Bozo over here when you got Mr. America over here I can marry? So the lie that produced the action. And I'm homing in on this because all behavior is based on a belief. They tell you many times, if you'll listen to them, why they're doing what they're doing. And it's based upon a belief. It's based upon a concept, of a belief of the mind. Number two on your outline. See, I told you we're going to go fast. Behind every sin is a lie that I believe. Behind every sin is a lie that I believe. You do not start sinning in action. Sin begins in the mind. And behind every sin is some lie that I believed and have believed. That God really didn't mean what he said. That really I'm the exception to the rule. That's really all the facts, you know, when you gather all the facts, it's right. Or it's a thing that I'll deal with this. I'll do it now and I'll repent later. Behind every sin is a lie. One of the keys, what are you doing? You believe a lie. I know that God says don't, but I'm going to do this because, and there's some belief system you've got in your mind that you can get by, or it's not going to matter as much. Behind every sin is a lie that I believe. Behind every sin, there's some lie in my mind that I believe that then allows me to do the action that I'm doing. All right. Listen, start looking for the lies behind why people act the way they do, or why you act the way you do. Look at the lies behind the reason why you can blow up like you want to blow up every time. Yeah, because they're just a knothead. That's why I can blow up all the time. All right, number three. Change always starts in the mind. Romans 12:2. Let's read it again. Change always starts in the mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed just by saying you're going to quit doing that. Be transformed by the renovation of your mind. See, it's raining, so you're not going anywhere right now, so, right? Be transformed by the renovating your mind. Everybody say renovation, would you? The way you think determines the way you feel. And the way you feel determines the way you act. If you want to change the way you act, you must determine the way you think. You cannot start with the action that's putting the cart before the horse. The reason you act, listen, the way you think determines the way you feel. And the way you feel determines the way you act. Let me give you an illustration here. A professor teaches behavioral something at college, and here's one of the things that she does. She asks this question. I'm going to ask it of you right now. Let's say that you're going down. We say we quit the service today, and everybody goes out to your car. You turn on Flannery Road, and just as you're about, you know, a half a mile or so down on Flannery Road, a car pulls out right in front of you. I'm talking about didn't even look and see you coming. You had to slam on the brakes. You had to hold in whatever you was about to say. And this car just fly up the road in front of you. Tell me your feelings at this moment. What's your feelings? Honestly, what's your feelings? Your anger and how stupid. And let's say that you get up the road and you go to Greenville Springs Road. And they're turning left and you're turning right. And you inch up beside them, and you look over in the car, and there's a mother splattered in blood, and she's got her hand out holding the head of a child whose head's been ripped open, and she's trying to stop the bleeding. Tell me your feelings now. You'll run interference for it, right? You'll go down the road, blinking, you'll run interference. You have compassion. See, your mind, what you think, what you know, it's not just what you know will change your feelings. and your feelings will change your actions. I'm trying to help you because this is the truth. Listen, what you think will change your feelings, and what you feel will change your actions. Now, you need to know this because it will change you in your life. You need to understand. So if you want to see a change in your life, change your beliefs first. Jesus said in John 8 and 32, he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You shall know the truth, what you know, and what you know will set you free. Do not try to get free without the knowledge of the truth. What you know. It's renovating your mind, and that is what is going to set you free. Do not try to do behavioral change without first dealing with your mind. Jesus exposed the lies that we're basing our behavior upon. If we're feeling afraid, ask ourselves, what are we thinking? I know what I did, but what was I thinking? If we're sad, we need to ask ourselves, what's in our mind that caused that? Why are we sad when we're going to go to heaven and live with Jesus forever and ever? But you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to change our thoughts about the situation by looking at the Word. We'll talk about that in just a minute. When we saturate our minds with the Word of God and we're thinking His thoughts, it's amazing how we're no longer controlled by our feelings. There's some people that are controlled by their feelings day in, day out. And yet the Bible says we can be transformed by the renewing. The difference between worldliness and godliness is a renovated mind. The difference between godliness and worldliness is a renovated mind. Let me tell you how important it is to daily get into the Word, to daily pray. Because that will make the difference whether you're worldly or whether you're godly. Because you will renew, listen, you will be transformed by the renovation of your mind that you might know and understand the will of God for your life. So one of the keys about living is renovation. And then number four is this, trying to change your behavior without a change in your belief is a waste of time. Trying to change your behavior without changing your belief is a waste of time. If you ask a person to change before his mind or her mind is renewed, it will not work. Listen, there's no saying says idle brains are the devil's workhouses. The Turks have a proverb which says the devil tempts all other men, but the idle man tempts the devil. You cannot have a lasting behavioral change unless you renovate your mind. Look what Romans 8 says. It says exactly that. For those who live according to the flesh, let me tell you why they live according to the flesh. Here it is. They set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's why they live a fleshly life. Because they've set their minds on the flesh. They've not renovated their minds. They've not dealt with the mind. They put some of them tried to change their behavior by putting the cart before the horse and dealing with the behavior first. But the Bible says those who live according to the flesh, the reason they're doing that is that they've set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have set their minds. Come on, somebody. They've set their mind. So the reason one person is spiritual and another person is worldly is because one has renovated their minds and the other one hasn't. One's renewed or renovated their mind, the other one hasn't. They've set their mind on the things of the flesh, and so they're fleshly. They're worldly. The other one has set their mind on the things of the Spirit, and so they're living in the spirit realm. It has to do with renovating your mind. It's what you're doing with your mind. Look at verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, listen to this, indeed, It cannot. Everybody say it cannot. That means you cannot put the cart before the horse and try to change your behavior until you change your mind. Because it's impossible to change your behavior long term unless you renovate your mind first. Because not only will it not, it cannot. Not only will it not, it cannot. It may get all, you know, uppy and, okay, I'm going to change it. But if you don't renovate it, it will lapse back into what it is. So listen, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Because you'll never see lasting behavioral change in your life until you deal with the belief patterns and the renovation of your mind. It's like this. Someone describes it this way. Your belief patterns are in your mind. Every time you think about a belief, it creates an electrical impulse that races across your brain. If you don't know this, that's what happens. And one of the keys is, many of you know this, that some of the things we learn literally began to put grooves in our brain. I've often said some of you, you could go bowling. You're just smooth all the way over. You could bowl with your brain. But some of you, because the way you believe something, every time you believe it, it sends an electrical impulse across your brain. And you believe it over and over and over until you get groovy. As we used to say, you get a groove marked in your brain. And you will not come out of that way of responding in anger, responding in whatever it is. You will not come out of that until you renovate your mind. You can decide, you can say you're going to change, you can make promises you're going to change, but you'll never change because it is impossible. You cannot submit to the laws of God just by your deciding to do so. You've got to renovate your mind. You've got to come to the place where you begin to renovate, change it. You know, we can be free from our past, sinful past. I read this story. Go ahead and put that picture of these two guys up here if you would. I read one time a story about this back in the old days that two men were caught stealing sheep. And when it happened back then, that was the same as horse thieving. You got hanged. You know, you got killed. Well, they had mercy on these two men. And they were just stealing sheep instead of horses. And they brought them. And what the judge did, he had this put on their foreheads, ST branded into their foreheads, sheep thief. And one of them went off and left trying to find a new life. And everywhere he went, they always, you know, asked, and the news followed him and all this and that. He finally died. He just couldn't handle it. He died. The other brother, there's two brothers. The other brother decided, you know what? I have done it. I've wronged. He stayed in the town he was in. And he began to make a life of integrity. He renovated all of his thought. The whole thing. And what he ended up doing was, years gone by, he helped, he gave. And I remember I read the story was, it says, many years later, when the old man with the ST on his forehead was old, it says, a stranger came into town and saw him. And he didn't want to be impolite, so he asked one of the people in town, what's that man? What does that ST stand for? And the man said this, he said, I don't really remember. He said, I don't know, but all I could think of every time I see him, it must stand for saint. Come on, somebody. Because you can change and you can renovate. Number five, last one this morning. This is, the Bible calls this change of mind, here's what the Bible calls it. That's what the word repentance means. Everybody say repent. See, when we say the word repent, we always think of actions. When we say repent, we always think of stop doing bad, start doing good. That is not what the word repentance means. If you believe it that way, it becomes a works theology. The word repentance literally means to change. Go ahead and put that word up. Repentance, metanoia, means to change your mind. Everybody say, I think I've changed my mind. I think I've changed my mind. To repent means to change your mind. To repent means to change. The contemporary word is the word we use, paradigm shift, today. It means to change your mind. It means to renovate, change your mind. So technically, listen to this. Repentance is not a behavioral change, but repentance is a change of mind that will produce a change in behavior. Repentance is when you change your mind, and out of that change or renovation of your mind comes all this different behavior. To repent. In fact, you'll see it in the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son never changed his actions until he changed and had a renovation in his mind. He was going one way, doing all this stuff, living one way. His behavior was all one way until one day in the pig pen, the Bible says he had a renovation of his mind. In his mind, he said to himself, "Do not even the servants in my father's house have it better than me? What have I done? I will go back to my father and tell him I have sinned in his sight." He had a renovation in his mind, which produced a change in his behavior. He changed his mind. He renovated his mind. And he began to go. And the Bible says he renovated his mind, and that produced the change in his life that lasted, that got him going and to fulfill what he just said. But there has to be a renovation. Look at what John the Baptist told him when they came in. He says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance.'" See, if repentance was bearing fruit, he would never say, "Bear fruit in keeping with your change of mind." I want to see fruit. I want to see a behavioral change now. If you really have, see what they were doing, they were coming for outward show. They weren't renovating their mind. They were coming for the outward show. And then they were going back living the same way they were living. He says, "You haven't repented. You haven't had a change of mind. You haven't renovated your thinking. You're stuck in the same old patterns of the way that you thought." He said, "Listen, go back." He said, "I want to see fruit in keeping with you. Then I'll know you really repented. Then I'll know there's been a real change, a renovation of your mind, is when I see the change in your behavior. Because if you try to change your behavior only, it will last for a little bit, and then you'll be right back in the junk you were in. The renovation of your mind takes place." Listen, life change only happens after you change your thinking. Life change happens only after you change and renovate your thinking. That's why Jesus, when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at near," he was saying, change your thinking. When Peter stood at Pentecost and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you," he was saying, change the way that you're thinking. See, I told you I could be done early. Look at this. So let's do a little bit of renovation today. We're going to end, get your little thing in. I want you to look at the very bottom. And I want you this week, here is your homework this week. I want you to renovate the way that you think. And let me tell you how it works in your life. Whether you say, "Oh, a pastor preached that sermon, but it didn't do me no good," all because you didn't do anything. You know the old saying I tell you over and over? Somebody says, "Is he done?" No, he's finished speaking, but the sermon's not been done yet. Here's what it needs to be done this week. If you want to see a change in your behavior, if you don't want to lay all night long fearful night after night, if you don't want to respond in anger at every little thing, stop making these big promises, "I'm never going to do that," and start renovating your mind. And when you renovate your mind, it's the word, you know, when a caterpillar is turned into a butterfly, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want to be changed? You want to go from an old drudgery life of eating and to a life of color and flying and freedom? Change your mind. Renovate your mind. Stop making the promises of change. Start renovating your mind, and the fruit of repentance, the changing of your mind, will come out. You say, we say, it's impossible. It's just impossible. God says all things are possible. We say, I'm just too tired. I'll give you rest. Nobody loves me. I love you. I can't go on. My grace is sufficient for you. I can't figure this out. I will direct your steps. I got the scriptures. Just a few of them I gave you. I can't do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not worth it. It's not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I don't have enough. I will supply all your needs. I'm afraid. I have not given you a spirit of fear. I'm worried. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares. I'm alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Come on, somebody say amen this morning. Come on, give him a good clap off in the morning, would you? Come on. All right. Here's what I want you to do this week. When you're driving, when you're riding, keep this paper with you. And here's what I want you to do. All those groovy, look at somebody, say, are you groovy? Just say, are you groovy? You're groovy, man. You're groovy. All those grooves in your brain is the way that you've always reacted. To the person pulls out in front of you, to the news you get, to the feeling of blueness that comes over you when you think about, when you worry about. All those acts. This week, here's your key. I want you this week to live a life, and I want you to say every day, I'm going to renovate my mind. There's a renovation. You know how messy that is. You know how inconvenient that is. And what would really be a help would maybe to have someone help you renovate. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to tell you, last night, let me give you a good, last night, Jasmine was gone, and she came in with 2 minutes left in the ball game last night. And I'm up with the clicker going, about ready to change channels. Because I said, ain't going to happen. I cannot believe we have lost the game. I'm ready to turn that sucker off. Write that team off. And Jasmine was saying, she said, I believe. And I gave her one of those, look, don't you even go there. Come on, somebody. And then when it happened, she said, I knew it. I wasn't going to say anymore because I know you'd get mad, but I knew they were going to come back. So she was helping me renovate my mind last night. Come on, somebody. Come on, everybody stand up. Come on, everybody stand up this morning. You might need some help renovating your mind next week, you know, this week coming up. And nobody knows it better than your partner in life, and they can help you. You've got some old ways that you respond, some old ways that you think, and all of that needs to change. Don't say, I'm going to stop being angry every time. I'm going to renovate your mind first. The way you do it is stop the famine. I'm doing a whole sermon. Stop the famine of the Word of God in your life. Every day, eat the Word of God. But the Word of God will only be logos until it changes. That's why the Bible says meditate on these things. That's the word is used from a cow. We have all these battles. How many stomachs does a cow have? Anywhere from one stomach to six stomachs. You got a bunch of stomachs. And what it does is when a cow is out there in a field, what it's doing is it's taking up from one stomach what it just ate and chewing on it again and putting it back down. That's that milk. You know that milk you drink? That's where it came from. He's re-chewing on what he's already ate. So the word meditate comes from you got to re-chew on what you already ate. I know you read your scripture in the morning, but you got to chew it up again during the day. Write it on an index card. Let me tell you the best way to do this is a word. Everybody say soap. Would you say soap? The best way to do this is when you do in your devotion, remember the word soap. Write it out. And I got my staff. We journal. I've got a journal and I journal. And I put a lot of times I'll put S-O-A-P out there. And I'll put soap, and that is, S stands for the scripture. Whatever scripture that really pricks me, that I write it out, soap. And then I make an observation about it. I say, what is it saying to me? What's it saying? Then A stands for apply. I say, what can I apply? How can I apply that scripture today? How can I apply? Do good to them that despitefully use you. And then God's going to send somebody that will despitefully use you that day. Isn't that great? And then P is, what you do is practical. What can you do in that scripture? And that takes it from being some religious, you know, part of your day in the morning to part of life. And what you're doing is you're renovating your mind. You're renovating. Instead of what you say is what he says. Okay, I'm afraid. They're laying off from work. I'm afraid. And you say, he'll supply all my needs. You begin to renovate your mind. What's your normal response? And that groove that's been cut by that electrical impulse, because that's how you responded and thought all those years, begins to be renovated. And suddenly you go from a caterpillar to a butterfly, and you're transformed by the renovation of your mind. Come on, everybody say amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that? Father, we love you today. We thank you. And I just pray over this congregation this week that there'd be a renovation of minds and there'd be a change in their lives. And we love you. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a good high five one more time. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday.
Joy.